Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. You made an old lady happy. I'm glad you did that, really, I am, because I don't know that you would have done it after I speak. I'm not going to give you point one, two, three, as we usually do. I don't have an outline. I'm going to talk to you like Mama. Will you receive that? Thanks, Bill. I think I just ruined this one. Thanks. Bless them. I blessed them both. Now they're wine. In the message, some of you got it. Anyway, in the message, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I pray that even if you become angry at me, this will penetrate you. I want so much to help you. I really do. I hear the same things you hear. And I see the same things when I do look. I'm like Bob. I don't look at a lot of things anymore because the enemy has control of the media. And I know there are those Christian programs and all that, but they can't agree on anything either. Right now, there's a big conflict among Christians. Do you believe this? No, I believe that. I believe the other thing. Well, this big minister, not in size, but well known, and he believes this, and she believes that, and he believes the other thing, and I'm with them because once they gave me a word, and it was right on, and so I know that everything they say is right on. I don't like where the church is right now. I think the Lord doesn't like it either, but I'm pretty sure we're in agreement. We talk a good thing. We sing a good thing, and I was so glad that Pastor Debbie emphasized it. Are you a child of God? If we really believed that, we would live so differently. When the enemy shot at us, we'd say, do you know who you're dealing with? I'm a child of God. You don't have any right to put this on me. You don't have any right to put me down. You don't have any right to try to shut me up. Even the devil can't do that. But and I think in Paul's day, what I like about Paul is that he would get people saved, as we say. He would lead them to Jesus Christ, and then they would become a group, and then they became a church. But he never forgot them. He always either went back to them or wrote them letters. 3/4 of the New Testament is made up of letters that Paul wrote to people that he was concerned about discipling. Why don't we do that? And apparently there was the same confusion back then that there is now. Now, to dismiss some thoughts you may have, I would want very much for the Lord to return. I want him to return today. Right now would be great. I'm ready, my family's ready, I'm ready to go. I'm sick of the world. I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of being sick. So I pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come, come, come. And the Spirit of the Lord says, no, no, not yet. And I say, why not? I could line up thousands that would vote yes. People that are meeting in groups of thousands praying for Jesus to return. And Jesus isn't going to come any sooner because they pray. It is right. He has a time, and he's not going to go against what that time that the Father sent. But why? God is not willing, what? That any should perish. Now, our rationale would be, well, if someone's going to perish, let him go now. But it wouldn't be that if it was your family, if it was your loved one, if it was someone you had invested in, planted a seed in, you would be praying, oh, Lord, water that seed, take care of it. Let there come a harvest. Let us be fruitful. And yet there are others that now are using signs, all the signs. When this thing happens, that's a sign. And when that thing happens, we're looking for the man of sin. And as soon as he comes, you're looking for the man of sin? That's where you're looking? You want to see the Antichrist? Let me tell you something. You aren't going to believe me, but it's true. He's already come. He's been in the world 2,000 years, the spirit of it. Everything he will do has been done. They have eaten pork on the altar. They have massacred God's people. They have denounced God. They have sat in chairs and said, I am God. It's all been done, church. Where are our eyes? Where are our ears? What are we looking for? What are we listening for? Well, so much evil has to happen. And then when that happens, how much has to happen that hasn't? How evil can you get? I read these atrocities and I think, you know, the evil men and women can't get evil enough to even satisfy their evil thirst. Are you there? You know I'm right. You know I'm right. Do you not believe in the prophetic? Yes, I do. But I think a lot of times they're evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets, and now the big thing is that they're going to be given more power in this next move of God, and they're going to run things. Well, they haven't done so well so far. I don't think that God is ready to put a hierarchy again and start over with a non-Catholic Rome. How'd I do that? Take that out of the tape. That's not you. What is it we're looking for? What do we see? Well, he starts out like this. I don't think, friends, that I need to deal with the question of when this is going to happen. Paul says that to his people. I don't think I have to deal with the question of when it's going to happen. You know as well as I that the day of the Master's coming cannot be posted on our calendars. He won't call ahead and make an appointment any more than a burglar would. About the time everyone's walking around completely complacent, congratulating each other for their deep understanding of things. We've sure got it made. Now we can take it easy. Suddenly, everything will fall apart. It's going to come as suddenly and inescapably as birth pangs to a pregnant woman. It is going to come. The skies are going to split open. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is going to be seen. There is coming a gathering of his people, his bride, and he is taking us up. And if we've already died, he'll call us forth before you go, and we'll meet you and we'll go together. There's no race in this thing. He's got it. It isn't how good you are. It isn't what church you belong to. It isn't your doctrinal positioning. It's whether you have Jesus Christ. That's it. Did you receive what the Father sent? The Father sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. It just, the only difference is where you spend it. You can have everlasting life. If you've rejected Christ, you are not going to be with him. Hello. If you've accepted Christ, you can say today with great certainty, I am a child of God. And it's time for you to get that certainty. You don't have to get saved every Sunday. You need to know who you are. If you really knew who you were, you would be like a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. You would walk around with the attitude of, you better not. Instead of the cowardice way of, oh, I hope the devil doesn't get me. I'm kind of frail. I'm not a fighter. I'm just a lover. You'll be a fighter when he shows up. I think we have far too many cowards in the pew. Well, that's the end. We are such a pulpit-centered people. We choose our church according to who's going to be in the pulpit. And we fight silly wars. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, we do, but we really do. I'll tell you what a silly war is. A silly war is when the people that are in the army fight themselves. That is a silly war. Well, I don't like who they pick for this, and I don't like who they pick for that, and then the young people go to their meeting. Why don't they stay? And Pastor Bonnie's a pastor, and I never see her congregation, and we do, church. I hear these things, I know. And the drums were too loud, so I couldn't worship. And the score goes too fast. Well, do like I do. Sing every third one. If you keep moving your mouth, they don't know the difference. I am child God. The kids will fill it in. But these silly wars, and not only do we fight within ourselves, we here in boot camp, where we should be just supporting one another, and if someone kind of stumbles, we pick them up. If someone says something against my brother or sister, I say, oh, you don't know them. Melody comes out here, and in great victory, she leads us into worship. She left a sick child in the back of the room. You don't know what goes on. You don't know the things I've been through this week. Do you have 2 hours? I mean, how many have had a rotten week? Yeah, what do you think that is? How come? Bill didn't raise his hand. You didn't have a rotten week. You had a great week. Yeah, because you're so spiritual. And then we come together and we argue over the craziest things. Colors of carpets and things. And we look at one another and say, I don't think they should wear that. I think. Who asked you, precious? And there will be things, I promise you, I know the truth of this, there will always be things in this service that aggravate you. There will, because God plans it. People wear things, you think, I would never wear that in church. Good, because you wouldn't look good in it. And all these little battles that go on keep us from sharpening our swords. Yes, they do. Not only is it a silly war when we do it within this body of Christ. This is segment of the body of Christ. But we have strong feelings about other family members in another building. They are our family. They're our family. We're related. You don't choose your relatives. My brothers reminded me of that all my life. They just kind of happen, and there they are, and you're linked with them no matter what. Well, you know, you can say, I deny that, and I divorce this and that. It didn't change. The Lord says, you're all part of the family, and I get back in. That person is harmless because you took it off. That person can't see because you took their sight away. Hello? And so the war that we create within ourselves disarms us for the real. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people meeting in this very city today who love the Lord. They love him. They belong to him. And they would be very quick to join us. I am a child of God. If they came to our midst and we look at them and say, you're not from here, are you? What right do you have to sing, I am a child of God? Aren't we silly? Church, aren't we silly? We're a part of a great thing. I remember when I was growing up in my dad's church, and every once in a while they would have a rally where they brought everyone in from, I was Assembly of God, and they brought all the people from all to this rally and into the fellowship. And I remember, because my dad's church was about 300 strong, and I remember seeing all those people and thinking, wow, they're all Christians. And I'm a part of them. I'm a part of this great, vast group, maybe 3,000 people. That's a small church today. And I'm only, you know how old I am. 86. I don't know why they clap for that, but I love it. I guess because I'm still standing. But I remember the thrill of seeing all these people and thinking, oh, if only we could always all be together, big, big. Well, here we are. Thousands come to this church. Thousands of you watching online, thank you for that. Glad you took the time to tune in. Pastor's preaching in California, and he will be watching the game later. And then the rally would end, and I'd go back to my church, little church. And I'd think, it's not as exciting, but I got the word every day. I got discipled. Some things happened. People got filled with the Holy Spirit. People were being saved off the street. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you think your talent is too little to give back to God, you better go back and see if he gave it or you did. Well, the only thing I can do is I can smile. Then do it. And do it all the time, and do it to people that aren't. It's hard for people not to smile if you smile at them. And the same with singing. If they're in your pew and they're not singing, look at them and sing it. I am a child of God. See, we need to find a new responsibility for one another. Instead of just coming and sitting and getting comfortable and looking up at the pulpit and wondering what's going to be next and who's going to do what, and that's the other thing. And it's the same thing in the overall picture. Today, as we hear ministers speaking, some called of God, many of them great men and women, many of them great men, few of them women, And they stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. He has revealed to me that in 2016, these things are going to happen. One, two, three, four. Then the next person comes on just as popular in another circle, and they say, thus saith the Lord, he has revealed to me that this year is going to bring this, 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 and this. And you look at them and print it off and think, who's right? Which one of these is right? Because one of them says we're going to have a great move of God, and the other one says it's going to be hell on earth. And if you heard the voice in answer to who's right, it's a soft, still voice, and it's the Lord, and he says, "Yoo-hoo. My word is truth. I am the truth. I am the life. And I am the way out of, and the way into." If you're in a mess, Jesus Christ is the way out. If things are going good and you're looking for a ministry, Jesus Christ is the way in. He named himself that. I am the way. But these people, as some today, want someone else to read the word and tell them what it means. You have it in Bibles, all kinds of translations, on all those little gimmicks you carry around, phones and iPads and notes, and I don't know what all of them are, all those things. You have the Bible in there. I think that's great. The word is everywhere. Why do you need someone else to interpret it? You have the author. Holy Spirit, help me understand this. And if we just tune to people, we're going to miss something, because all of these great preachers or not so great preachers have a nugget or a piece of the puzzle. And they come to the table and put their piece of the puzzle in. The problem is they don't move from there. That's their piece of the puzzle. I know God showed me this. This is my piece, and I'm going to protect it. Okay, but I can't see a face without the other pieces. Hello? They're just one piece. Oh, then there's someone else has another piece. Ah, God showed me this truth. I tell you, I was asleep, and he woke me up with a sound, and he said, this is what's going to happen in 2016. So I say, which shall I choose? I choose blessing. Do you understand that that's what Paul was facing? The people, he'd get them all straightened out, and then he'd leave and go on a trip, and he'd come back, and they were all messed up again. Well, I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas, I'm a... And he said, I think you need to know, verse 4, you're not in the dark. So how could you be taken off guard by any of this? Another place he says, who hath deceived thee? If you know the word of God, how could you? How could you possibly be taken off? First thing to do is come back to the word and say, what does the word say? What is God looking for today? What does he want? How many of you have ever just wanted to say that to his face? What is it you want? And he says, I want you to recognize that you're a child of God. I run the world, you do not. I am in charge, the devil is not. Has he had input? Oh, yes. Has he taken over things like the media and other Yes. Will it last? Oh, no. But here's what the Lord's waiting for. But friends, you're not in the dark. You're sons of light, daughters of the day. We live under wide open skies, and we know where we stand. That's what he's waiting for. It's like when a captain, a general, or even a lieutenant walk into the room. It's attention. He says, you know what I want. You know what you're qualified for. You know why you're here. I imagine you wonder sometimes, but you know why you're here. You know what your mission is. It doesn't always show fruit in the first, I won't say 5 years, but it doesn't. So the word says, but you just keep plowing and planting, and one day we are going to have a Holy Ghost school that sends young people overseas, brings them back, refreshes them. It's going to be an exchange program. I know it. I know it in my knower. It's my piece of the puzzle. You're sons of light and daughters of day. If that's true, do you really believe it's true? One, two. Everywhere we go and it's dark, what gives in? Light or darkness? I light a candle, a tiny little candle. I walk into a pitch dark room with a lighted little tiny candle. What happens? Light dispels the darkness. And I can see. It's just a little candle. It's just me. And just one little voice. But I can change the atmosphere of a place. I am a child of God. That's what we have to get. If you don't get anything else today, you've already gotten plenty. That was a beautiful altar call. If you don't get anything that lasts, you need to get this. You are a child of God, and because of that, you are hated by the enemy. Of course you've had trouble. Of course it's been a lousy week. Of course you've been tempted to depression. The enemy doesn't want you free. He doesn't want you to be light. He wants you to be worried, anxious. But what about, well, what if they come? This isn't very stable. What? I wonder why Pastor doesn't spill water up here. The enemy wants us to quiver like Goliath wanted David. You're just a little guy with a big sword. Yeah, I am. And I'm going to lay my sword down just long enough to take what God gave me. And I'm not going to miss. This one's mine. That's the attitude we ought to have. This one's mine. I'm not letting go until I see. This one's mine. Rock with his place down. He says, you want to talk about swords? Okay. I'll take yours. Can you see that little guy tugging at that great big sword? If I can get it up high enough, I'm going to cut your head off. That's the attitude There is a lion spirit in every one of us. And it needs to come out. When the lion of the tribe of Judah wants to roar, then it roars. You come to church, you want us to pet the lion. You get that over about 2 o'clock. We don't pet the lions here. We feed them. Meat. Chew it. Swallow it. Sunday is tank up time. When you leave church on Sunday, the attitude shouldn't be, well, I got that, thank God. That'll get me through the week. Oh, please. That wasn't the purpose at all to get you, or even till Wednesday. The purpose is to give you something that you can masticate well enough, that you can, out of the breasts of the church, comes the feeding of the multitudes. Well, I don't know much. I don't know scripture. Learn it. Learn one. That's a rock. God so loved the world. The enemy says, no, you have no power. And I say, I'm right. You're right. I don't. But I have the well, the source of power. And I just take the lid off whenever it's needed. And the Holy Spirit erupts through. You don't walk through the world, I'm powerful, I'm powerful, I'm powerful. You just know I've got the source within. There's a river within me. And when he wants to flow, he will flow. And when he wants to overflow, he will overflow. The world is thirsting, starving for what you possess. You're a child of God. The world is hungry for that. They want, but they don't want more preaching. They don't need more singing. They don't even need, most places don't need more food and clothes. We give them so much. We give them so much. Man who did my hair yesterday was telling me about, he was sitting on a bench in Las Vegas talking to a homeless man who gave him instructions how to live rich as being homeless. And the man said, well, if you've got all that money, why don't you buy a house or something? And he said, because I like to gamble. Are you hearing me? The devil said to the man, you need that money to gamble with. You can sleep anywhere. What is your bondage? That's not from God. It's not from God. He came to set the captives free. And that doesn't mean when you're being prayed for here only. You get prayed for here to be set free. You get prayed for here to be healed. But then you take that healed body and that free spirit that Jesus has said, and he put his own spirit in you, and you walk outside, and it ought to be with the attitude of, okay, who wants it? I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, and that's enough, that's enough. It really is, because what we have to present to the world is not our articulation or great revelation or even I discern this and I discern that. Right now, the world doesn't care what you discern. They don't care about your last vision. They don't want to hear any more stuff. Woo-woo. They want something real. They want someone that just radiates with the reality of Jesus Christ and who he is. And they want to know he's available. That's all they want. That's all they need. What the world needs is Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus. And I would love the skies open and Jesus to appear and scare everybody. I would. That would just make my heart happy. Because I think, like Moses, I would be willing to just stand there in terror and praise him. He's big, church. He's mighty. I saw my angel. I know, no, you don't believe in angels. I didn't either. I thought everybody that saw them was a bit. I was lying out on my lawn. I like to do that. I love the sky. I love the sky in the daytime or at night. I just love the sky. And I was lying out on my back. And from no matter what side, an angel appeared. I thought, that's a cloud. Wow, it looks just like an angel. Oh my God, it is an angel. And he didn't stand. He just was floating by. My heart was going, I take it back. I don't want to see an angel. I'm sorry, Sister Ruth can handle this. And he just kept, very slowly, just kept coming. And when he got over me, the only reason I didn't go in the house was because I couldn't move. And when he got over me, he just turned, and he didn't smile. He just looked at me. About that long. He laid his head back down and floated out of sight. And I said, God, I will never again talk about little angels fluttering around. I get it. Things up there are really big. They're really mighty, aren't they? He gave me no word, though I have heard an angel speak. The only thing he said was, I'm Myrna. I was in bed asleep. Iverna, odd name. Iverna, second time, opened my eyes. I did not see him or her or it. I saw light like I've never seen, a glow. My whole home, my whole room was just aglow with light, bright. Bright light. And I just laid there. Yes? Give me a sermon. And the Lord said to me, I am your sermon. Church, he is your sermon. Christ in you is the hope of God's glory filling the earth. You have more than you know you have. It's time to spread it out, as Pastor Bob says. All right, let's wrap it up. How many are tired of it? I love that. That's great. I can't even find the page. He goes on to say, honor those that work so hard for you. I know that means pastor, and they do. Our pastors are wonderful. All of them. All of them. I do honor them. I honor them by praying for them every single day. But there are also mothers and fathers and teachers and people that work in the stores and so your bosses. This says honor them. And then it went so extreme as to say overwhelm them with appreciation and love. That's what you did for me today. Nobody announced me. I just walked up and you clapped and stood and nobody whistled. And I felt so loved. I felt like I can say anything God lets me say because this is a group of love. This is a group, look at them honor. They haven't even heard anything. Look at them honor. Maybe you honor the old lady getting up here, but you, that was such a wonderful thing. What if you did that with your family? What if you did with your children? I say to my daughter, you're the favorite daughter. I only have one. But don't I? I write her. Favorite daughter, I love you so. Favorite daughter, that's what I call her. She is my favorite daughter. I have a son, I tell him the same thing. Favorite son. I love you. You look beautiful. I've said this to you, I don't know how many times. I thank God for giving you to me. Wouldn't that be a little different than what you ought to do is, and I think you ought to, and maybe you should, maybe parents need to be honored, and maybe children also need to be honored. Look for the best in each other and do your best to bring it out. Do you know that there are people that bring out the worst in each other? Some of them are married. You say, I don't know why I'm like that when I'm around her or him. I'm not like that otherwise. We need to be the one that brings out the best in everyone. Love brings out the best. Jesus said, you want to know how people will know you're mine? That you have love to one another. That you love each other. We give our little cursory hugs and have certain times. They always say, greet five people that you don't know. I can't remember who I know, so I just greet five people. And it works. You just love. But love isn't just a handshake. You know what love would be? If you would pick out someone and make a determination for the next 3 months to have an effect on them. I double dare you to call them, to whatever, figure it out. Watch the fruit, watch the budding start. Watch the change take place in them. They will say, somebody believes in me consistently. It says, be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. This is the way the Lord wants you to be. Don't be gullible. Check out everything. This piece is good. Don't take all the stuff that comes with it. You with me? In the back, are you with me? This piece is good, but there's a lot of stuff needs to be trimmed. Take the good, and you got another piece of that puzzle. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this revelation. Thank you for this revelation. I'm beginning to see. Thank you, Lord. That's why he has so many of us. No one has it all, especially those who say they do. No one has it all. But we all have a piece. It's the same with you. It's the same with the local congregation. John has a ministry. It's a quiet ministry. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes ministry. It's not everything, but it's everything to those who receive it. Do I make sense to you? So you would be shocked if you knew the ministry that some of the people you don't like have. Because God likes a lot of people you don't. He looks down from heaven. That's what the Bible says. God looks down from heaven. And he looks at the heart, and he looks at what we do, and he looks at our works. And he says, oh, I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of her. She got out of bed today. I'm so proud of her. She fixed a meal. I'm so proud of him. He prepared for the offering like he was going to preach. I love that. I thought that was diligence. Please hear it. Every little thing you do, God sees. And he does not discount one thing, but he wants people who will seek him so that they have more of the puzzle to bring to the church. Isn't that pretty? And when we get it all together, we will love one another. We'll love you in your church. We'll love you in your church, and you in your church, and you in your church, and you in your emphasis, and you in your emphasis, and you, because these revelations come from God. Is this too heavy Sunday morning? I don't want to go. All right, I'll preach to those that said no. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't decide who is and who isn't. Decide what is and what isn't. Because the same person that may have too much stuff around their peace may come the next time after seeking and bring you the revelation you've been praying for. We can't judge. We judge spirit. We judge truth. The Bible, you have to get in the Word. Nobody is short of the Word. If you are, ask someone, one of the ushers, we'll give you a Bible. No one should be without a Bible. But they're not decorative pieces. They are to be opened and looked at and meditated on and thought about. And in fact, the Bible says, I'll tell you what to think about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever things are true. How do you figure that out? The Word. That Jesus is the truth. The Word. Jesus is the Word. All right? Everything that is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue. Wow, that sure cuts out a lot. All those people I dislike, I did see some virtue. You may not like me, but you see some virtue. Yes or no? If there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Would that change our conversation? You think he's doing a good job? Well, he's doing this. I found something praiseworthy. You think she's doing, do you think? Then look at yourself. Well, I'm just not where I used to be. I tell you, I used to be on the front lines, and it's not so fun to be on the front line. You're the first one to get shot. If you have a backline ministry, rejoice. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole. We say, well, I'm not holy. I'm not holy enough to be on the front row. I'm not holy enough to go out and minister. I'm not holy. God makes you holy, darling. You can't make yourself holy. You can cut holes in your jeans, but that doesn't make you holy. Spending time in the Word and with him makes you holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith God. So our attitude ought to be, I am holy. Holy means unmixed, nothing added to it. Unmixed. So if you're not happy today and you're not holy and you don't feel one, I mean, I don't feel I'm a child of God. I think God, you need a touch with God. You're out of touch. The cord, something's wrong up there. The cord slipped out of the socket. What you need today is just somebody to help you shove that back in. Boom! Glory to God. Filled with the Spirit, filled with God. I mean, I really believe this is a mandate to this church. He's saying, I no longer want you to just be dependent on the pulpit ministry. I want you to be a minister. Well, they don't give me a chance. No, they don't give you a microphone. Chances are good you're sitting right beside somebody that needs something. And I really believe that when this move of God that I am sure of is going to come, that it's going to happen in the pews. I do. I think you're just going to be sitting there and you're going to say, the Lord's going to say, he needs something. And you're going to reach over and bam, plug that socket in. And he's going to say, what hit me? You say, Holy Spirit told me you needed a start. I need a start every morning, do you? Yes, or you're one of those who just jump up. That was my mother. She started the day singing praise to the Lord, 5 a.m. Oh, glory, glory. I could join her at 10, but not 5. We all need a start, and that's what I'm saying. Awake means awaken. It says awake, awake. Awake, thou that sleepest. Christ will give you the light. Awake, awake. You know what that means? It means shake your mane. Yeah. Shake your mane like a lion. They get up, shake their mane, and they're ready to go. Shake your mane. How long has it been since you had that attitude? I think it's time for the church to have attitude. Have attitude in your home. You don't want to go to church? It's tough. It's time to go to church. You live in my house, you go to my church. Shake your mane. And roar. The roar of a lion reaches as far as 5 miles. Oh, if we'd only get this. And the roar is Jesus. 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 He is alive. And he has lifted us to a new level. It's time for that level to be seen and to be shared. And all the people said,
I get the altar team to come down, and whatever your need is this morning, don't leave with that need, because there's people here to pray with you and agree with you. So let's just sing that. Hallelujah.